It's time for Supply Chain Now Radio, sponsored by Apex Atlanta and TalentStream. Broadcasting live from the supply chain capital of the country, Atlanta, Georgia, Supply Chain Now Radio spotlights the best in all things supply chain. The people, the companies, the technologies, the best practices, and the critical issues of the day. Now, here are your hosts.
All right. Good morning. Scott Luton here with you today live on Supply Chain Now Radio, broadcasting from the hashtag Supply Chain City of Atlanta, Georgia. Big welcome to our listeners. Glad to have you with us on the show here today. Back from a quick trip on the road to Savannah, Chris. We'll introduce Chris Barnes in a second, but a huge, vibrant logistics market down here in Savannah. To our listeners, let's time travel a little bit here. So if you're catching this this podcast on replay and you want to listen next time live, go to supplychainnowradio.com. We've got a big red button up at the top. Click on that, follow the instructions, and we'll get you on board live here at Supply Chain Now Radio. This morning, we've got some exciting news. We are kicking off a new transportation-themed series focused on a very hot topic in the world of supply chain and sponsored by our new friends over at Translogix. Translogix, if you've had your head in the hole somewhere, it is an Internet of Things IoT company provisioning digital enablement-related products and services for the critical transportation and logistics domain. So doing some new things, growing left and right, and we're glad to have Translogix here on the show with us today to drive this new topic. We're calling it hashtag Transportation Talk. Our creative department came up with a really creative hashtag there, didn't they, Chris? Let's say good morning to my talented co-host I keep referring to, Chris Barnes, President and Executive Director at Apex Atlanta. Good morning, Chris.
Good morning, Scott. It's great to be back.
Yeah, it's great to be back. It's great to be back in the studio together for the first time in a little while. And it's great to partner with new firms like Translogix that are doing big things out in industry. One more note before we introduce the rest of our featured guests today. More information on Translogix can be found at www.translogix, and that's TranslogiX.com. Chris, where have you been lately in your world travels?
Primarily on the East Coast. This as the quarter ends down, it's the end of year as well. So,
yeah,
trying to stay local to Atlanta, keep the shows going.
Local to Atlanta and planning a big 2019 with Apex.
Yes, sir. We got a lot of things going on. Actually, we're rounding out the year at Apex with workshops at Georgia Tech. So, I know it's less than a week away, but if you have any budget in your training plan. For the end of the year, don't let it go to waste. I encourage you to check out the Georgia Tech Supply Chain Logistics Institute. Go see if you can attend one of the two classes.
So we're going to pick your brain a second on that in a minute. But let's say a big welcome to our featured guest today. This morning, we're going to be interviewing Antonio Davis, former NBA All-Star and CEO founder of AI Logistics. Good morning, Antonio.
Good morning. How are you?
Great to see you.
Good.
We've already enjoyed the warm-up conversations.
Yes.
Jonah Carney, Director of Business Development at Blue Star Express Logistics, Managing Director at Blue Star Express Logistics. Good morning, Jonah.
Good morning. How are we doing today?
Doing great. See, we just fix things right as they come out and fix them right there in a moment.
Boom.
Jason Gilley, Director of Business Development for the Southeast for Translogix. Good morning, Jason.
Good morning. How are you?
Great to have you here as well.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
You bet. So we're going to be looking forward to our conversations with Antonio, Jonah, and Jason in just a moment. But as Chris started to tee up for us, we've got some of the things we want to share with our listeners. Top things to know in supply chain now. A few. 17 items today, Chris?
Yeah, we kind of narrowed it down to 17.
Okay. But we're leading off with some upcoming workshops at Georgia Tech.
Tell us I'm pretty excited about those. It's a great chance for people to refresh their supply chain knowledge, or people trying to enter the supply chain careers, go in and kind of learn a bit more about supply chain in general. Also, the new certification CLTD is focused specifically on logistics, transportation, and distribution. But as I had mentioned, there's a few spots open in both classes. It's a 2.5-day workshop at the wonderful Georgia Tech Conference Center right downtown. So it's a great venue. I'd say 25% of the cost is worth just having the ability to go and attend a class at that wonderful venue.
Yep. And you'll also be one of the instructors for the week?
Yeah, I'll be there. I get to get some close personal time with several of my students, and it's a good experience for everybody.
Mm. And other items related to professional development, have you been seeing a lot of as we approach the end of year, is this a hot topic as for companies to kind of spend money on?
Well, it is. I thought it would be. It's kind of a pilot we're doing with Georgia Tech, offering a class in December, which can be challenging or it can be prosperous. We're on the fence right now. A little bit of a low turnout. That's why I said we got a few seats left open. But if there is, that's my thing. If there is budget left, that's a good way to get in and invest some of that money.
And invest in two of the industry-leading supply chain certifications between CSCP and CLTD, right?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
What else is on your radar?
Well, I also have going on the I think the tariffs through the political tariffs are causing warehouse capacity constraints. And I don't have any hard facts on this or statistics, but I have talked to several shippers that have said they're trying to get product imported before the actual tariffs take effect, specifically in their industries. And I think that's having an impact both on transportation capacity as well as warehousing capacity. So I think that's something to take a look at. Hmm. I also saw you were speaking of Savannah, Scott. Maybe you saw it firsthand on your trip down there. They're finishing up the port deepening going on down there. It's going to have a big impact. Obviously, that is a big artery for anything supply chain in the Southeast.
And they're on schedule.
They just got, probably $50 million plus more dollars to finish off that project. It looks like it's going to be completed in 2021, so that's good for everybody in the room, if not everybody in the Southeast.
Huge, huge. That port is such an economic cog in the engine, not just for the state of Georgia, but regionally and really for the country. And that's going to be just more gasoline on the fire of things going on down there in Savannah and how important of a logistics hub that is. We sat down last week on our trip. We took the show down to the World Trade Center in Savannah with our good friend Bill Stankiewicz, who sits on the board with APIC Savannah, and interacted with five different business leaders that touch different parts of the end-to-end supply chain. And one of the things I was going to mention to our listeners and to the rest of y'all in the room here, the Savannah Logistics and Technology Corridor has set up a task force. First off, did y'all know there's a corridor? There is a corridor.
I did, and I kind of cheated a little bit.
Or
it's kind of a trick question because I'm from Savannah.
So. Oh,
Jason. Well,
there
Savannah.
We go.
Yeah.
Jason, yeah.
Inside track there.
That's right. That.
And I can also attest to the fact that the port is doing some fantastic things down there.
Incredible things. And so that area down there, so one of the folks we met with, Bill Stankiewicz is on that task force, and a couple of the folks we met with, they are in the process of standing up this task force and rolling out an initiative to create 4,000 high-paying tech jobs down there in Savannah. And one of the things that that one of our interviewees mentioned last week was everyone hears about fintech. You were talking about some of our neighbors around the corner, right? Fintech is a very common cliche. Everyone knows that I think 90% of all credit card transactions are processed right here in Georgia, right? Freight tech is growing. If you look at on a chart, which I should have brought like Ross Pro with me today, fintech versus freight tech is blowing it away in terms of all the technology it requires to get things moved. And the Savannah market down there is in position to take advantage of that, bring in more and more technology, and create a lot of great paying jobs that are going to do a lot of other neat things for that local economy. So look at the Savannah Logistics and Technology Corridor Task Force and some announcements they've got coming up in the new part of 2019. Hard to believe we're almost there. Chris.
Yeah, I've got some on the topic of education and training. We're also, I want to plug something that's not done yet. We're working on it in concept with Kevin Reed at the National Minority Trucking Association. He's approached us to come up with a Supply Chain 101 workshop, and that's something that we're conceptualizing, hopefully have something done early to mid 2019. I think that'll be a good offering for people.
Yep, and that's a little bit different than the current Supply Chain 101 program where we're taking teams of volunteers in the elementary schools.
And then if you let me give a sales pitch a little bit for APIC, I'm the executive director of APIC Atlanta, one of the sponsors of the show, but we are currently in our campaign season for looking for sponsorships for our nonprofit organization for 2019. So we can continue to do things like the Supply Chain 101 workshops with NMTA, Supply Chain 101 seminars for grade school and middle school students, and sponsoring veterans, giving scholarships for attending some of our educational initiatives.
Yep. And you can learn more if you're interested in in that program or anything Apex Atlanta's got going on, you can shoot an email to info@apexatlanta.org, and we'll make sure we connect you with Chris and get your questions answered. We'd love to partner with other organizations in the new year. All right. So we're going to introduce our first guest today on Supply Chain Now Radio. We welcome again Antonio Davis, CEO and founder of AI Logistics, NBA All-Star. I think you're doing some analysis work with SiriusXM NBA programming as well.
Yep.
And probably some other things we can't talk about in our 15-minute segment today. But yeah. Pleasure to have you in the studio.
Thank you.
Really looking forward to picking your brain. And we want to talk more about your transition into, you know, building a supply chain business. But first off, incredible NBA career. What do you miss most about playing days?
Man, you know, the two things that come to my head consistently when I'm asked that question is the competition. You know, always going out there and trying to beat in the other team's head and win a basketball game. And, you know, and it the thing that I love about it most is, after a while, it's not about a job. Mm. It's about literally, you know, when we were in Indiana, we wanted to beat New York so bad
because
we were this small town going up against this big mecca, this big giant. And you took that personally.
Mm.
And that was really cool. And in that, you gained so many relationships. So that camaraderie in the locker room and going out there and winning and losing and grown men crying in a small space was kind of crazy. So I missed that part.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of the other stuff you don't miss, you know, the travel and getting beat up and all of that. But, you know, I do miss the game from that perspective.
Mm. So is the logistics space as competitive, just in a different sense than the NBA playing days?
You know, the people aren't as big. They aren't as physical. But I tell you, there's really this sense of trying to make sure that you get in there, you get competitive, you learn as much as you can. I can remember those days, you know, practicing 3 hours a day, lifting weights afterwards, taking care of your body, eating right. It was a full 8-hour day.
Wow.
Where here I am starting all over in a different realm. Mm. And, you know, there are a lot of people in here that have a bunch of experience that I don't have. And it's great to be in a room like this with great people with great knowledge. I sit here like a sponge at all times and just try to soak up all that's out there. You know, I continue to tell my brothers, my colleagues, my teammates that, you know, we can do anything we set our minds to. We've done it before, but we have to humble ourselves. Mm-hmm. We're now in a vertical where we know nothing about.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just trying to, you know, get in this space, learn as much as I can, kind of bust open some doors, kind of, you know, peel back all this fear that we have outside of being on a basketball floor. And it's been a phenomenal experience up this far.
So let's talk about what triggered your initial interest in the supply chain industry. You mentioned you've got a brother who's a longshoreman from where in Oakland, where you're from, right?
In the Bay, yeah.
Is that what first?
You know, about a year and a half ago, was continuously trying to figure out what did I want to do next? What was that next challenge? What did I figure I can jump into and create another passion? I had jumped into real estate. I tried to become an entrepreneur. I had done a lot of things. And at some point in time, you just need to feel it in your heart that you're being challenged in a way that you've never been before. At least that's how I've always been. So I came and I took a class here. It's funny you mentioned NMTA. I met Kevin Reed about a year or so ago. I took one of his classes, started learning about transportation. So many things start happening so fast. I found myself down there 3 or 4 times a week at their office, just sitting in on some of the meetings. And I just became intrigued by, once again, being at home in the Bay Area. Start picking up on different things like, yeah, my brother's a longshoreman. He's actually taking these containers off these big ships, putting them in an aisle, you know, organizing them so the trucks can come get them.
Right.
And it was just fascinating.
You looked at that differently then.
I looked at it totally different.
Yeah.
When I'm driving on the highway now and I see all these big transportation companies, I look at them differently now. You know, when I'm driving by UPS or FedEx or whatever the case may be, I look at things differently now. And I think that's what, as athletes, we have to do is just – open our minds and our hearts up to looking at things differently. And I'm just intrigued by the fact that, you know, everything that we have, we do, we eat, we wear, we, you know, this table we're at, went through this process of getting to a place where it was delivered here to this office. And it involved a truck, some kind of supply chain, some kind of transportation. So
but
that's, you
know,
intriguing.
But to be fair, that's lost most Americans probably don't make those same connections that you made through your, you know, sitting back and kind of soaking up a lot of the conversations at NMTA and connecting the dots to your your life experience with your brother. You know, I would argue, and I'd love to get y'all's take here, many Americans don't connect those same dots. You know, they take things for granted.
They really do. And now when you can get online and order something and show up that day or the next day, you don't realize how much goes into that, how much technology, people, energy, things have to line up just the right way. And I think we're kind of preying on that, I want it now. It's good for us as a business, you know. It creates jobs. It does a lot of different other things. But for me, it's an opportunity to, once again, bring a lot of my fellow colleagues in and start learning how we can enter this space in a way where we can take our resources, create other opportunities. I mean, I say it all the time now, we go back to our hometowns, we want to make a difference. We ended up, you know, maybe giving some money. Now I'm all about planting seeds. How can we create something that can generate jobs, generate revenue, create opportunities for other people? And I see this space as being one of those places.
Love it. So real quick factoid here, because e-commerce, as what you were alluding to, right, our old Jeff B. And Amazon, he spoiled us all. You know, we get things delivered within 2 hours now. But real quick, a big driver of logistics and of course, in supply chain e-commerce, looking at our Georgia Centers of Innovation for Logistics, November 2018 Logistics Market Snapshot, which is great information if you aren't signed up for this. 8 pages of data and data points relevant in the supply chain. E-commerce, 14.5% higher year over year, looking at third quarter 2018 versus 2017. We all kind of we know e-commerce is this huge engine, but did you think it was that much bigger than it was last year? I mean, almost 15% higher year over year. So it creates, to your point, it creates lots of opportunity.
It does. You know, at AI Logistics, when I first talked about creating this company, it was about giving the smaller carrier, giving the smaller company an opportunity to have that same access to some of these bigger opportunities. I knew that I had a way of getting in the door of some places that they may not be able to get into. I knew some people at Toyota, at Volkswagen, and some of these other bigger companies, and I was able to get some meetings. And now that I'm here, to circle back around to those same people in my Rolodex that I've had so long, not knowing what they were there for, now I can go back and kind of tell them what I'm doing. And not just helping that smaller carrier, but helping my colleagues to understand this transportation business.
It's kind of building the ecosystem is what I'm hearing you talk about, rather than in the past where, you know, maybe former players made donations and helped sponsor things.
Yeah.
You're creating this. You're investing in the community, right? Investing in a new organization.
And really more from my standpoint is the education part. I've been talking to a lot of guys as I've, you know, worked with the Players Association and making sure that, you know, no matter what we do, as we pivot and pivot and transition into life after basketball, the first thing you need to do is just educate yourself. Don't go into it thinking you're going to buy this experience or buy this knowledge. you have to spend just as much time as you did when you practice. You have to go and sit down and read and do some exercises. You have to fall and get up. You have to fail and come back. You have to lose and keep fighting.
Right.
You know, all those things we can take and apply it to something else. And over these last 8 months, I've kind of done it all. You know, I've got into it and like, oh, I'm gonna go buy some trucks, but let me learn about trucks. Then you look at all the overhead. You're like, oh, wait a minute, I don't
insurance.
Yes, you see all these big numbers. You're like, whoa, I don't want to do that. So you take a step back and just try to figure out what is the best way that I can gain this knowledge without spending a ton of money or having this risk factor in there where I can lose money. Mm. And I think that's the one that's been really helpful for me that I'm passing along to a lot of guys. AI Logistics has kind of afforded me that opportunity. Been up in Michigan and talked to Vinnie Johnson, who's done great.
The microwave.
The microwave.
Yeah.
He has a great business in auto parts, man. It is phenomenal to all the stuff that he's doing. Had a couple other guys, former ball players, working with him. I saw that. That's kind of where I want to be. Pull some guys in. Hope they can start their own company. Maybe we can start some stuff together, put a fund together, get some trucks, work with NMTA to get some trained drivers in there, and get them some experience. It's a win-win situation for everybody. So that's some of the vision of this company going forward.
Yeah, Kevin's doing some really neat things. Kevin Reed, founder and CEO of NMTA, friend of the show. We look forward to having him on an upcoming segment.
Yep.
So kind of circling back here, because you served as president of the Players Association, right?
Yes.
So, and I'm sure you were mentoring and coaching a lot, especially the younger players coming in.
Yeah.
So it seems like that's part of your MO is continuing now kind of on the other side. You're mentoring and coaching and guiding these players coming out, kind of looking, okay, what's next?
Mm.
You know,
for sure.
A big part of what you're doing now, it sounds like.
No, for sure. It's a funny story. When I got into the NBA, I played my first year. After my first year that summer, we were faced with lockout, decertifying the union, no more basketball.
Right.
It was kind of crazy. I'm scared to do. I'm scared because I'm like, wait, I just got here. Right. Things are going well. Slow down. But then I had to, you know, take all that information out of my locker, read back through it, because on one side you had agents saying one thing, the team was saying something totally different.
Your truth union, is in the middle somewhere.
The truth was in the middle somewhere, and I was a little bit disturbed that I didn't know what was going on. But all those papers that I failed to read during the season that was preparing me for this situation was there. So I jumped into the union at that point. I became player rep of vice president, first vice president. I served on a bunch of committees. I've spoken in front of Congress. Mm-hmm. I've done a lot of different things to speak on behalf of players. I really feel like my thing is just giving back to the players before me, because without them and their sacrifices and the thing that they went through, I wouldn't be sitting here today. So these younger guys have to understand these huge contracts you were making, they just didn't come just because there were guys who kind of paved the way. You have a responsibility to kind of go back and do the same.
Yep. So you started, you're kind of talking about some of the advice you'd give athletes, especially athletes transitioning into the logistics and supply chain field. Educate, you're encouraging them to fail and then learn from those failures and then apply those learnings, right?
Yes.
You're talking about the risk factor. Mm-hmm. What, speak more to that. Do you consider yourself as a bigger risk taker than others, or?
You know, it's funny you say that. When you come out and you have a nice nest egg and you can take some risks, you take some risks. And I took some risks. Real estate market 2007, 2008, 2009.
Ooh.
Got my head beat in really bad.
It's like good years for that, huh?
You know, like wow, I timed it just right. You know, and then kind of recovered from that. Still recovering from that, and then realizing that hey, the next time I take a risk, it's going to be based off my knowledge and my understanding. not some forecasting of where real estate will be or not some whatever, but I'm going to physically be able to have my hands on it and be able to control the movements that I make based on the knowledge that I have. If I fail with my knowledge, if I fail with my understanding, then I'm okay. I don't want to fail with somebody else at the helm and lose money with somebody else. So I encourage these guys. I'm constantly sending guys stuff to read, new technology that's going on out there. They think I'm crazy sometimes, but listen, you never know where it's going to kind of bite you. You know, we all started somewhere and something led us to the place we are today. So what is it? So if I can give those guys some encouragement to go out and learn this knowledge and increase their risk, and even if they do, be risky with what you know, then I feel like I've helped them.
If I might jump in here real quick, too, as it relates to what you used to do, Antonio, you watch your game tape.
Mm.
You watch the game tape from the past and of what you're going to be up against, and you made informed decisions.
Right, yeah. Right. And that's kind of what it is. Initially, when I jumped in, I started wanting to buy trucks because that's seemingly where I could maybe make some money, you know, pretty
fast. And
they're
very tangible.
I can get in. I can meet the driver. I can see them going down the highway and all this different stuff. But there was so much more to learn about that. And it's been great so far. I'm glad I didn't jump in to start that way.
But you are jumping. You mentioned you're going to be spending a day and a half with a driver coming up. You've got your path all laid out, right?
I kind of got it together. Yeah, we're supposed to go down to Savannah is one of our stops because I heard there was such great things down there. But for me, it was really understanding what that driver goes through. Customer service to me as a broker, as you can speak, is on both sides. You have to know your driver and your carrier, and you have to know your customer, and you have to serve them both. You're kind of that middle person to make sure communication is not lost, freight is not lost, things are happening the way that they're supposed to be happening. So that's a part of my learning experience is what does he actually go through from the time he picks up his whole drive and the time he drops off? I feel I have to know that.
Well, make sure you blog that entire day and a half.
Yes.
We look forward to learning more. And Savannah, you're going to enjoy your trip down there for sure.
Yes.
But that kind of to learn more about Antonio and AI Logistics, check them out at www.ailogisticsgroup.com. And we look forward. I think we're going to, Chris, I think we're going to have a profiles and supply chain leadership segment on Antonio in the upcoming weeks. So look forward to that. But look, also, you know, maybe this time next year, having you back on and talk about what we learned in 2019 and as you continue building the logistics empire that is AI Logistics, right?
Empire is the word. Yes, that's what we're looking forward
to. Phrase. There we go.
Hey, Scott. Well, I'm just putting my Apex hat back on, and Antonio mentioned this, you know, probably in the first 30 seconds, and that's all I heard after the fact was, he invested time in training within MTA. I think that's that to me says something. I assume it was a good use of your time.
Yeah, I took their kind of trucking 101, and then I went back and took their brokerage class also. They're built around, like you said, partnering with them with you know, bringing all of this knowledge to every. The only way you can see it is you have the knowledge. You know that increased the risk. I actually jumped on Apex, and I was looking into taking that Georgia Tech class last time you guys offered it a few months ago.
Yeah.
I just, the timing didn't work out, so I'm glad you said something now because I think I'll be able to go in and get that done.
Great.
Yeah.
All right. I was looking up NMTA's website. Chris, maybe look that up while we move into the next guest. We'd love to share that with our listeners. But that was Antonio Davis, CEO and founder of the AI Logistics Group. And again, to learn more, AILogisticsGroup.com. We look forward to sitting back down with you. Thanks, Antonio.
Yes, thank you.
All right, next guest today on Supply Chain Now Radio, we welcome Jonah Carney, Managing Director at Blue Star Express Logistics. Good morning again, Jonah.
Good morning.
Great to have you here. We were as a quick personal aside, we were talking about your beautiful radio voice this morning. And just like Antonio's got a family connection to supply chain, you've got a family connection to this industry, right?
Yeah, my dad was a morning jock here in Atlanta for about 20 years or so.
Wow.
So that's where I get the Sunday, 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 get the radio voice and everything from.
Love it. Well, so let's talk about Blue Star Express Logistics. What do y'all do?
So Blue Star Express is a we're a non-asset-based brokerage. We have kind of a niche in government, been around now for about 35 years, but we work a lot with the Department of Justice. We work a lot with FEMA, you know, IRS customers like that, and then expanding out into some more private industry, recycling, manufacturing, you know. And that's what we're doing currently. You know, full truckload, partial LTL. If it fits, it ships.
Terrific. And in the warm up, we were talking about, you know, the other cliche we hear a ton about, the capacity crunch. Mm-hmm. Give us some observation. What are you seeing on the front lines as you lead your group?
Well, I mean, this time of year, when you get in between the holidays, you know, the goalposts of Thanksgiving and Christmas, it's different almost every single year. This year, I'm noticing that capacity is actually not bad right now. You know, it's almost even across the board. There's some areas, of course, that are hotter than others. You know, when you look at the spot market each day, and the technologies that allow you access to that visibility. But this year's actually been a lot easier, honestly, knock on wood, than other years have been to find coverage, especially with some of your more specialized trucks. You know, if you're needing to find, you know, hot shots or you know, sprinter vans, things that you don't necessarily see running down I-285 every day. You know, it's been capacity's been easy for us, luckily, so far this year.
And you're talking about in certain sections of the country, there's still that certain.
Oh,
that
yeah.
Crunch.
Well, when you go out into, and you know, nothing wrong with these places, but
we're
the
not
middle
picking
of, yeah, but like the middle of Oklahoma, middle of Nebraska, once you start getting away from, you know, the larger metropolitan areas, it's very, very hit or miss. And, you know, you're going to be spending more sending people out to those areas, sometimes $3 or $4 a mile. You know, they think everything is South Florida this time of year. So they just, rate goes through the roof.
Wow. Okay. Well, one other topic we've been talking about is bridging the gap between entry level technologies or technologies that entry level and startup companies need, and those that enterprise looks to, the huge platforms, as you were talking earlier. Mm-hmm. Tell us more about that, because even though y'all have been around 35 years, it sounds like y'all are still very entrepreneurial.
Yeah, right? Absolutely. You know, we like to run a pretty lean crew. It's a lot easier to pivot that way and to help respond to a customer's needs that way, as opposed to a larger organization. It's tough for them to move quickly, but in doing that, you can find that. I mean, one, your team can get overworked, you know, just like a basketball team, you know, that's played four quarters, they can get tired at the end of that. And you get to a point at times where, you know, when you're looking at all of the tracking that has to get done, all of the actual manual processes of scanning documents, making sure that the right documents are going to the correct people, it can become time consuming. So the only way to really accelerate your business and expand your capabilities is to bring on technologies to help those. What you find, though, a lot, especially in the transportation industry, is that the SMB space, you know, when you get into brokerages that aren't hundreds of millions of dollars per year, there can be a gap where, you know, a license for to help move your business forward can be cost prohibitive as adding new trucks, because, you know, the insurance rates are too high. And that's really what we're running into right now is, you know, at what point do we pull that trigger to bring in these larger scale technologies to help grow, or do you invest in more people? You know, and that's really kind of the flux that we're in right now, and the issue that we're running into.
So speaking specifically of one technology or technology advantage, real-time tracking, why is that important? And what are y'all currently doing in that space?
No worries. I mean, we're right now, like a lot of brokerages, it's a very, very manual process. You know, there are prior to being at Blue Star, I was a director of carrier sales for a top 10 brokerage. And even there, a brokerage is doing $600 to $800 million. Actually, this year about to cross the $1 billion mark in revenue. It was still very manual. You'd have an Excel spreadsheet. You'd have 75 loads on it, and every single one of those loads got called that day. Once for pickup, you know, once to see if they're empty, once to see if they're at their pickup, once to see when they're loaded. So you have an entire team of people dedicated to doing nothing but finding out truck locations and then updating brokers, or finding out truck locations and updating customers. And the benefit that we would find when it comes to real-time tracking or GPS tracking is just simply the ability to click on a button and see your truck. And that's that right there, by taking away that workload. I mean, what are those people at that point capable of doing? How much more freight can you go out and book? How many more calls can you make out to prospective customers? How better can you service the customers that you have and get new opportunities? And what are you missing in having to make those 75 to 100 additional phone calls every single day and paying a team of people to do that?
That's what we're running into. Visibility is key, and I think it's being driven by a lot of times people don't need to know, you know, instantaneously, but they want to know.
Oh, yeah.
It's driven by, you know, on the B2C side, I think, and more than so on the B2B. But, you know, if you order something from, you know, online and you can go in and instantaneously check when it was picked, when it was put on the truck, when the truck got to the cross dock facility, when it hit your state line. All that stuff is pretty detailed. I don't know if it's necessary, but it's pretty detailed.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I'm clicking my tracking number on an Amazon order as soon as I get my confirmation email. That's what we were talking about it earlier, you know, with e-commerce and how it's changing. You know, we don't really look at what all goes behind the instant gratification that we're so lucky to have in this country. And that transparency, though, being able to see that is a luxury that has been around for e-commerce. I mean, for instance, this past weekend, you know, I don't know if you heard, there was a Georgia Alabama football game.
Well, no, whoa, what was it?
Oh yeah, no, it was. It happened, I think, on Saturday. It was a close one, but I mean, if Domino's Pizza can tell me that Matt threw my order into the oven at 11:07, you know, and I know exactly when it's going to get there because I have hungry guests. I mean, that technology is pervasive throughout the entire, through pretty much anything in transportation. It just seems that small brokerages and full truckload is kind of the last to get on with that transparency. They're almost kind of pushing against that change a little bit, at least sometimes. That's been my experience with what I've seen so far.
Well, it's pervasive for a reason.
Yeah.
And that's because the customer demands it.
Exactly.
Right?
Exactly.
And it's so interesting that you used the Domino's example, because I was going to make the same point about Pizza Hut.
Mm-hmm.
We never order pizza. We stick to our diet at all times. Of course, we splurge. Yeah. Yeah. But, you know, pizza has the same thing. Different portals of visibility, when your pizza is made, when it hits the oven, when it comes out of the oven, when it's out for delivery, because we, as customers, we have to have that information. Where's our stuff? How soon is it going to be here?
Oh, yeah. Well, and another piece of that too, though, is that a lot of the time, you know, your customer, a lot of the time is just a simple, he's a shipping manager. You know, he's a warehouse manager, and his boss is asking him where that truck is. And it's 1:05. They said it was going to be here at 1:00. Where is it? Well, I don't know. I can't get a hold of it. It would just be, it's so much easier and more effective when it comes to the day-to-day operations of, I don't care if you're asset-based, I don't care if you're a brokerage, I don't care if you're working out of a basement apartment somewhere, if you have that kind of visibility to where somebody can just click and receive that information, it makes your life infinitely easier and then frees up more of your people assets to be able to go out and grow your business.
Yep.
That is what I was going to kind of piggyback on.
Yeah.
Sorry about that. Just data and analytics are becoming extremely important and extremely valuable. As Jonah pointed out, if you can have real-time visibility and you can have real-time data or up-to-date data, you can, for instance, you can prep your crews with the expectation of a load arriving, you know, as opposed to, you know, a truck coming and waiting at a loading dock for, you know, an hour. You know?
And it's becoming the table stakes of the industry. If you don't have it, you're kind of left out in the cold. And we'll talk more about TransLogix, because you're helping organizations, especially on the startup side, the smaller but growing organizations, you're helping equip them with that information so they can be more nimble, right?
Exactly.
Jason.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
We'll touch on more on that in just a second. Great point there. Jonah, going back to Blue Star, you're talking on the front end. You made a great comment in the warm-up conversation. You're not looking to be the biggest player out there, but you're looking to have the best levels of service.
Correct.
So talk to us about that, and talk to us about what, how y'all measure that. You know, what are your customers after?
So, I mean, our customers, again, they are, a lot of our customers are that government, the government customers. So, I mean, with them, they want everything to be on time. They want to know, you know, my truck's going to be here at 1:00. If not, they want us to be proactive in reaching out to them, which we are. You know, at the end of the day, I think everybody that's been in this business for a while realizes that stuff happens. I mean, you've got 80,000 pounds of machinery going through the U.S. highway system. Stuff's going to happen from time to time. But what I had seen in the industry is, you know, you'll have a younger kid fresh out of college. It's his first job. He's working at a big brokerage. He's never had to call and deliver bad news. And that's kind of standard and boilerplate with what you see with most non-asset-based brokerages. So all of a sudden, a customer doesn't realize what's wrong until 15 minutes too late, 20 minutes too late.
Less options.
Yeah, exactly. A lot lost, and a lot less options, a lot less ability to maneuver and make that customer happy. So again, with us, you know, it's right as soon as something goes wrong, we want to be proactive in letting that customer know. And no, we're not aiming to be the biggest one out there. We're not always going to be the cheapest, but at the end of the day, we're going to provide a fair rate to our customer. We're going to provide a fair rate to that carrier, because again, you can have as many loads as you want on your load board, but if you don't have trucks to move them, nobody's making money. So you've got to treat your carriers right as well, and that's really what we want to do. You know, in my past, I have been on all sides of the phone. I have worked with a factor before. I have worked as a dispatcher. I've worked as a director of carrier sales, managing a team of 40 people, doing nothing but slinging freight all day long. I've been a broker. And I try to find that fair balance, which I think can create equitable partnerships for people on all sides of that phone. The people getting paid, the people writing the check, the people that are managing the process in between at the brokerage. And that way, I mean, one of my mentors in the past said, if just by simply doing what you say you're going to do, when you say you're going to do it, it makes for a very good situation for everybody involved. And that's what we really try to live by at Blue Star.
So protecting those world-class levels of service, on-time picking up and deliveries, transparency, proactive communication.
Absolutely.
Effective problem solving. Because problems, let's face it, problems come up in this business, right?
Oh, yeah.
Supply chain management is about tackling problems.
Absolutely.
Right?
So. Absolutely. That's why I absolutely loved it. You know, yes, Antonio, what got him into this, I love the puzzle. I didn't really know a lot about logistics when I first got into the space. And I realized after my first couple of weeks there that it's just a giant puzzle that you come in and you put together every single day. You know, if you're bored, you're not doing your job right.
You don't care enough.
Exactly. That's you right. Don't care enough. If you get bored in this industry, something's going wrong somewhere.
Well, having sat in a seat, I came to appreciate those slower days when everything kind of worked out okay.
Yeah.
But I appreciate what you shared. One last thing, John, I want to pick your brain on before we move on to Jason Gilley with TransLogix. You're talking about what's the more important priority for startups, people versus technology. Speak to that a little bit.
I mean, at the end of the day, in my personal opinion, I do think when you are really first starting off, it has to be people. At the end of the day, you have to find people that are passionate about what they're doing, and you can't teach passion to an IBM, you know, ThinkPad.
Not yet.
And that's really what it is. And the reality is, as Antonio found, I'm sure when he first got into it, there's so many moving parts, and there are so many different facets of the industry that you don't really think about. It's beyond just trucking. It's, you know, keeping your cash flow on the front end, you know, choosing a proper financial partner to help you do that, finding somebody that knows the regulations so trucks aren't getting overloaded or they're not overpromising on delivery time, saying that you can do 850 miles in a day. Thank you, ELD. I think on the front end, people, you've got to surround yourself with the best people that can help you with gaining customers, one great person with operations, one great person with the financials. And if you can just put that power four, that power five team together and grow from there, I think that you eventually have to earn your technology. Without getting in and getting your hands dirty and having your phone ring at 2:30 in the morning, you're never going to know what this industry is about. And technology puts barriers, frankly, between you and that experience. So on the front end, definitely people. But as you grow, it's impossible to grow with just people. You have to have technologies to make their jobs easier. And, you know, frankly, to keep them from pulling their hair out. Otherwise, you're going to lose those people. So, yeah, that's my answer for what it's worth.
No, that's great. That's terrific. And to learn more about Jonah and Blue Star, check them out at www.bluestarexpressinc.com. What is about website addresses? We still want to include the www on the front end. Does it start with anything else?
No, I don't think so.
Sometimes it does. Sometimes.
Oh, really?
Okay, so we got to keep
saying
maybe secured versus non-secured.
Okay, HTTPS. Colon
backslash backslash.
There we go.
So Blue Star. Oh my God.
So that's the nerd in me coming
just
out.
Lost
thank
me.
You
there we go. Learn something new.
All right. Well, WWW stands for World Wide Web.
There you go.
Oh, sorry.
BlueStarExpressInc.com. And we just interviewed Jonah Carney, Managing Director at Blue Star Express Logistics. Really appreciate your time, Jonah. And don't go anywhere. We'll pick your brain here in a second about some other things.
Thanks for having me.
So, thanks for joining us here this morning. Okay, next up, our cleanup hitter, our final guest today on Supply Chain Now Radio, we welcome Jason Gilley, Director of Business Development for the Southeast for Translogix. Good morning or afternoon again, Jason.
Afternoon. Pleasure
Glad
to be
you're
here. Thank you, Scott.
You bet. And, you know, Chris, we should say a big thanks, a big high five to our friends at Translogix. We also have Nalasia Henson in the studio with us here today. Hello, Nalasia. Really appreciate y'all's partnership as we kick off this new series. Thanks for your sponsorship of today's episode, and we look forward to talking more with you. But for starters, and Jason, gosh, from those first two segments, we have no shortage of things to cherry pick from. But first off, for our listeners, what is Translogix?
First of all, we have nothing against human capital and investing in human capital. So just wanted to throw that out there.
Sure.
Now, with that in mind.
Tell us all about your technology.
Yes, exactly. Translogix is a technology company based, or headquartered rather, here in Atlanta, and we focus on the transportation logistics vertical. Among other things, our software solutions enable superior supply chain logistics by essentially leveraging LOT, L-O-T, and other innovative technology in the transportation space. I was actually brought on board at Translogix as the, as you indicated, Scott, the Director of Business Development for the Southeast region, a couple of months ago, and I'm of course thrilled to be a part of the of just such an amazing group of people. While I clearly am still relatively new to the company, it has not taken long at all to both recognize and adopt the unique vision of our founder and CEO Justin Vissasier, as well as our investor and managing partner Leon. So.
And y'all got a lot of things going on with Translogix. What an exciting time to join this organization. So, and you bring a lot to the table too. How are you kind of putting your stamp now that you're drinking the Translogix Kool-Aid?
Sure.
How are you putting your stamp on the organization?
Well, you know, as I indicated, the folks before me, Justifus and Leon and Nalasia and Anthony Santorelli, a lot of those guys have kind of laid the groundwork for me and really have made my job up to this point easier and hopefully moving forward easier, in that they have their concepts have obviously transitioned into the development of innovative, unique software that has, you know, I don't want to say sells itself, because then I'm probably going to get my pink slip after I walk out of here. Sells itself, huh? Well, you know, where yourself.
You strike me as a huge relationship person.
I see
a problem, you attack the problem, and you've got the suite of services that Translogix brings to the table.
That's
to,
correct.
To help do that. So let's talk about the problems, I'm gonna rephrase this question. What are some of the solutions that Translogix brings to the table for all of your customers?
Sure. Well, in general, you know, we're striving as an organization to literally try to change the transportation logistics industry by providing transparent, real-time visibility across the supply chain, something that you and Jonah had kind of hit upon. One of the primary means, again, this is just kind of a general note,
sure.
One of the primary means that we're utilizing to achieve this is by working directly with BETA, that's an acronym, you know, Blockchain and Transportation Alliance.
And BITA.
BITA.
Industry Association, BITA. Yep.
Yeah, and when we're specifically focusing on the standardization of data component of the blockchain process. So as far as the problems that we're trying to help our clients solve, mm-hmm. our development team has worked tirelessly really over the past year and a half to help resolve a lot of issues, to meet a lot of our respective goals. I often say that Justifus is the brains behind the operation, and that Leon is the brawn behind it. So as I indicated earlier, I'm just merely an ambassador in all of this, and that those two have make my job a lot easier. I know Justifus has been working towards making this dream a reality for over a decade now, and he's just now starting to see the fruits of his labor, which is great. You can see the smile on his face, and I don't know if this is possible, but sometimes when I talk to him, I can actually hear his smile over the phone. So it's great. It's great.
No, it's true. You can hear people. Hear people smiling.
And you're talking about the founder and CEO, Justifus Vissasier, right?
Justifus Vissasier. Correct. Okay. Correct.
So, sounds like a fun place to work. Good culture.
It is great culture, and as far as the what we're providing. We essentially have four of what we would be defined as products and services, which I'll get into a couple of those in a bit. But one thing that I really wanted to kind of hit on initially would be what we call our ELD marketplace, which can be accessed either by the actual website, www.eldmarketplace.com, or just via our website, our direct website, translogix.com.
And Jason, y'all got on that eldmarketplace.com, your account at 25 high-flying partnerships right now, right?
As of right now, yes. We have partnerships with, you know, what we consider to be the top 25 ELD providers in the market today, like Omnitrax and Skybits, to name a few. And for those who are not familiar with the term ELD out there, ELD is an acronym for an electronic logging device, which has been mandated by the federal government for truckers to use to really try to transition from, you know, paper logging to electronic logging to standardize the process.
And so, Jason, if the listeners sign up for the CLTD Apex class, they will fully understand what ELD means.
There you go. Yep.
Bro. Exactly. Shameless plug.
There we go.
We didn't even talk about that before the show. So
we're going to talk about some of the products and services here in a second, but visibility, and certainly that's been a common theme of today's conversation. Why is that so important in today's transportation era, you think?
That's probably my favorite question. And Jonah and Antonio, you guys feel free to jump in too. But this one is kind of a no-brainer in that, you know, that's like the $25,000 question, Scott. Right. You have optimal visibility, okay? That's going to yield benefits, numerous benefits as an organization. How? Well, you're going to have accountability with your workforce, you know, so that you can ultimately make the best, most informed decisions, you know, personnel-wise, whether it be the drivers, the folks in the warehouse, the folks that are onboarding or offboarding your assets, or any other employee that's working for your organization. You're going to have accurate data and analytics that will represent their performance over a designated period of time, okay? As a decision maker, you will be you'll be able to determine, you know, who's fulfilling and who's not fulfilling their respective expectations based on their role, and make definitive changes accordingly.
Make better decisions.
Yeah.
And faster.
Right. Which ultimately is going to lead, as an organization, it's going to ensure that you're operating at an ideal level procedurally. Okay. Now, having this advantage is going to, of course, lead to increased efficiency, you know, as it relates to internal production and performance, which, of course, will spawn greater profitability. Okay. At the end of the day, that's what most organizations want, right? If not every company, you know, they want to make money, and full transparency and visibility is going to that's going to provide you the ability as an organization to accomplish that.
Antonio, as a leader of an organization, is that something you're thinking about from a service offering, or what's your position?
Yeah, you know, it was funny when you were talking to Jonah about people versus technology. You know, it's for me, starting a brokerage or a small carrier company, you have to have this balance of both. You know, you're looking at the money that you have. You're looking at, going against these big companies, and they have a lot of people to throw at a lot of problems. You know, if something comes up, there's a team that can jump on it, get it done, whether it's customer service, whether it's making all those check calls or whatever the case may be. When you're a small company starting off, if you're trying to compete with that, we have to be super efficient. So we have people with experience, and I keep saying I have a great team around me, people with experience, and then you equip them with technology so that you become super efficient. Mm-hmm. Now you can compete. Now we don't have a bunch of people spending time making calls. We know exactly where that freight is. On the other side, we can spend that time literally getting on the phone, building those relationships, and keeping that customer service up. Whether you want this information or not, I'm going to give it to you at all times so that you know that it's important to me, because your job on the other end is you have some freight that you're trying to get from A to B. You just want to make sure that it gets there. You want to sleep at night, and you want to know that when your boss asks you, you have answers. I want to equip you with that. I want to make sure that you have it. So you have to have that technology that's really on point so that I don't care when you call us. We'll know where your freight is. Mm-hmm. We'll know what time it's supposed to be there. We'll also know if a problem comes up, we're going to give you enough time to go to your boss and be proactive and say, hey, something's come up. We're jumped on it. We're a couple hours behind, but we're going to make sure that it gets done. So that balance between the two is kind of where I'm learning that sweet spot is, and I'm able to compete. If I say I'm going after these big contracts and these big customers, I got to be able to service them.
And Jason, with Translogix, that's a lot of what you're providing companies with. We were talking about in the warm-up, I liked how we said you're providing an equalizer of sorts, for smaller but high-growth companies to allowing them to better compete against the big guys and gals, right?
Right, absolutely. And again, I want to reiterate that we are a technology company, but we do invest in our employees and personnel. So.
No, absolutely. As y'all might imagine, with all these shows, technology is a huge theme, and every technology firm, entrepreneur, and leader all make a similar point. Technology augments the current workforce, especially if the current workforce is willing to learn. And we've all talked about how important that is, learn and evolve and get better. It affords a lot more opportunity. So what you said, your standard disclaimer, is a big part of our ongoing conversation here at the show. So Let's talk more about the technology advantage that Translogix really equipping its clients with.
Well, and especially as it relates to some of the smaller companies out there, to provide that type of equalizer, if you will, of sorts. That's certainly our hope and one of our primary goals. As I'm sure Jonah and Antonio can attest to, there are a myriad of products and services in the market today that might have certain pieces of functionality that a small and medium-sized transportation company might potentially need, which that I don't view as necessarily a bad thing. However, the problem is that these folks, the providers, they require you to pay a boatload of money for features that aren't relevant necessarily to your business, or you won't even use this whole suite, if you will. But you'll have to pay the whole kit for the whole kit and caboodle when you're only going to be using certain features and components of those pieces of software. So yeah,
Jason, I call that drinking from the fire hose.
Yeah.
It's like trying to sign up for cable. I only want 8 channels. Exactly. I got to pay for 900 of them. Yeah, exactly.
Right. And further, the majority of these offerings seemingly require you to have a master's degree in computer science or to be, an IT professional to use them, you got to think about your end user. And this is not
meant. What are you trying to say?
Well, I'm just thinking. I don't mean this in a disparaging way, but you got to.
They're not very bright.
As a provider, Antonio said that. That was not me.
He's bigger than I am. I got
to
say.
It sounds like we're getting to the end.
Right. No, but you got to know your end user. And a lot of these folks are not going to be technologically savvy. So now, what are you facing? As from a management perspective, now you're facing another issue of having to train your employees. On how to use the software properly, which of course is going to take time. And what's that going to do? It's going to take away from productivity that they would normally have. So ultimately, Translogix as an organization, we subscribe to the KISS model, the keep it simple, stupid model, if you will, in that, we take the opposite approach. We have software that's very user-friendly, very robust, and we only charge customers for what they want and what they use. I mean, I think the concept can play a very large role in leveling the playing field for some of those small and medium-sized companies, those that are trying to get their feet off the ground, if you will, because it's going to free up more time and free up more cash for them to invest in other parts of their company, like people.
Absolutely.
And technology.
Yeah, people and technology. Yeah. So we've talked about eldmarketplace.com, which is active and growing, which is really neat to see that you partner with at least 25 of the top ELD providers. That's terrific. You've also got a big announcement coming up that's going to be launching in the next 30 days, which is truckergig.com, right?
That's correct.
And Trucker Gig CRM as an accompanying piece there. Tell us about that.
Yeah, it's an exciting time for us. We firmly believe that both of those offerings are really going to change the way people view the transportation and logistics component of their business. Our proprietary CRM, as you referenced, Scott, Trucker Gig is a platform designed to serve brokers and shippers and carriers and drivers and 3PLs, et cetera, and everything in between. Ultimately, the application is going to help organizations streamline all of their processes and procedures pertaining to the transportation and logistics part of things. Trucker Gig is going to incorporate, or does incorporate rather, our vendor partnerships along with our own expertise, and creates a place where all supply chain backend solutions can be achieved to ultimately increase ROI and improve productivity, which, you know, again, at the end of the day, that's ideally what you want. What sets us apart is our low cost and the ability for you to pick and choose what you want. You know, if you're a shipper, well, you have shipper capabilities. If you're a carrier, you have carrier capabilities. Or you might want both. Regardless, you're going to have options. There's flexibility there. So, you know, you're not going to have to pay tens of thousands of dollars for every component, you know, just as I was referencing earlier. So
what you need.
Yeah.
When you need it.
Yeah, exactly. And so the ultimate goal of Trucker Gig is really to revolutionize the transportation and logistics vertical through the utilization of this innovative cutting edge technology and provide full visibility, as Jonah was alluding to.
Antonio, want to chime in real quick?
No, I was just going to say very quickly, it's kind of what I'm experiencing now. I want to say the trucking management system that I'm using, but they force me to take all this stuff that I'm figuring out I don't even need right now, but I have to pay for it in order to have what they have. And then, you know, for me, it's like, wait a minute, that's extra dollars that I don't have as a small brokerage company. So for me to be specific on not just having what I need, but using it the way that I want to use it, makes TransLogix, you know, a company that I need to seek out, because once again, it becomes I'm working with less people, which I need, but I need to be very efficient. But I don't have time to do all this training. This company that I have now, man, I went through 3 days of training. I had a headache, and I'm still sitting here wondering how do we do it. I'm going back to the spreadsheet, like.
I guess what Antonio's trying to say, Jason, is, can we get your card?
Yes,
exactly.
That's right. Well, yeah. You know, Antonio, you just need a Band-Aid, and they gave you a body cast.
Man,
right?
Oh, so they gave me the whole thing.
The neat thing I'm hearing from Jason about TransLogix is the flexibility and all the different options, and again, what you need when you need it, and when you grow and you're ready for what's next, we can take care of you there too. So,
sure. And Trucker Gig, a lot of it is about, again, what Jonah was hitting on, it's about the real time visibility. You're not guesstimating anymore about, you know, when your freight might be there. It provides you the ability to get real time data and analytics. You know, and if you can imagine how much money that will save. You know, having that information and you know, data, I mentioned earlier, data and analytics is becoming more and more valuable.
Table stakes. So big thanks. It was tough to squeeze all of that into a 15-minute segment.
Sure.
So we're going to have you back on. We're going to, you know, TransLogix, again, y'all are doing a lot of things out in the marketplace. It's tough to put our finger on the pulse. But no, I think for today, ELD, what the listeners really need to remember, write down, take a note, eldmarketplace.com, translogix.com, TransLogix, and then soon, within the next 30 days or so, truckergig.com, which is going to be a powerful new cog in the TransLogix ecosystem, right?
Well, indeed. Yep.
Terrific. Big thanks to Jason Gilley, Director of Business Development Southeast for TransLogix, for joining us. We look forward to having you on the next couple of shows.
Thanks again for the opportunity.
All right, Chris, this has been a lively session.
It's been very productive. I was listening for the Apex terms, a lot of things, concepts we talk about. So sign up for the Georgia Tech classes and get a better understanding for a lot of things we talked about.
Do we have some classes at Georgia Tech?
No. Hey, you got to feed the sponsors.
That's right. Got to feed the sponsors. That's good.
Like I said, the guy that cuts the check, that's the important one to keep
that's
happy.
That's important.
Or the gal.
Or the gal. The guy, gal, the person. Person. Sorry, I forgot.
Come on, John.
It's 2018. I know. My
that's
fault.
Right. So we are going to close on these final items. We're a few minutes over, but big thanks to our audience and our featured guests for being with us here today. First off, check out our new website, supplychainnowradio.com. Next up, we've got Ashley Liebke coming back in next week, December 12th, to continue our Tech Connect series. We've got Tom Valentine, a friend of the show, and Manhattan Associates on that as well. On December 21st, we've got Bo Groover coming on to continue the hashtag Leadership Matters series. A big crowd teed up for that next installment. And then webinars. We do a ton of webinars. So December 11th, talent. We heard about talent. You know, you got to have technology, but in today's supply chain, you also have to have the talent. So Jessica Clayton with Talent Stream is going to be offering a webinar, offering up her observations from the 2018 supply chain talent market. And that's going to be December 11th. December 13th, we've got Will Haraway on how to tell your story from a supply chain marketing standpoint. So a lot of folks in this room may sign up for that webinar.
Is that at Georgia Tech?
That is not at Georgia Tech. But you can find out
more
information.
But there are classes coming up.
I that's right. SupplyChainNowRadio.com. One last big announcement before we say thanks to everybody and sign off is the 2019 Atlanta Supply Chain Awards. That is live. It's been kicked off. It's been resurrected from the dead. March 12th, 2019, Apex Atlanta, CSCMP Atlanta Roundtable, and the Metro Atlanta Chamber have teamed up to host the 2019 Atlanta Supply Chain Awards. You can find out more information on that. Nominations are open. Sponsorships are open. We've got 11 different categories, and that is AtlantaSupplyChainAwards.com. Nice, easy, and simple. Want to thank our sponsors, Apex Atlanta and Talent Stream. Want to thank our sponsor for today's episode and the Transportation Talk series, TransLogics. If you need any information to our listeners, you can't find what you're looking for, shoot us a note to info@apexatlanta.org, and we'll make sure we get you the information. And, you know, Kevin Reed's ears have probably been burning for the last hour. So Kevin Reed does a great job. If you're in Atlanta or in Georgia or in the Southeast, his organization is the National Minority Truckers Association. You can learn more at minoritytruckers.com. He's a great friend of the show, and he's doing big things in the industry. Okay, so let's thank our featured guests, Antonio Davis with AI Logistics Group. Thanks for joining us today.
Thank you. It's great.
Jonah Carney, Managing Director with Blue Star Express Logistics. Thanks again, Jonah.
Thank you for having me.
Give us
thank
your
you
best.
Very much.
Yes, give us your best radio exit, Jonah.
Everybody, you have a good, safe drive home this afternoon. Thank you very much for tuning in to Supply Chain Radio Now.
Wow, man. Oh. And Jason Gilley with TransLogics. Thanks so much for
your time. We probably should have done me before. That would have been an appropriate log off.
As always, on behalf of Chris Barnes and Scott Luton and the Supply Chain Now Radio team, thanks for joining us today and have a wonderful week.